You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis met on Monday with the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, saying he hoped their meeting would serve to strengthen further our bonds of friendship and our commitment to the great cause of reconciliation and communion between Christian believers. The audience came on the second day of the Anglican leader's visit to Rome, which also included a meeting with the St. Egidio community, Vespers at St. Gregory on the Caelian Hill, a visit to Rome's Joel Nafuma Refugee Centre, and an encounter with the Ecumenical Global Freedom Network for the Eradication of Human Trafficking. Recalling the shame of the first disciples when Jesus asked them what they were arguing about, Pope Francis said, "We too feel ashamed when we ponder the distance between the Lord's call and our meagre response. The goal of full unity may seem distant," he said, "yet it remains the aim which should direct our every step along the way." Speaking of the official Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission and the newer Anglican Roman Catholic Commission for Unity and Mission, the Pope said they are important forums for examining in a constructive spirit the older and newer challenges to our ecumenical engagement. Pope Francis also thanked the Anglican Archbishop for his leadership in the fight against human trafficking and modern-day slavery, which he called intolerable crimes against human dignity. Just before the audience, I talked to Archbishop Welby about this work and about the goals of this, his second visit to the Vatican.
Well, this is essentially a fraternal visit, and it's developing on the progress we've made over the last year. The key aspect of what we're sharing is the commitment to work together on issues of human suffering. We've seen that in the Global Freedom Network and the Declaration on Trafficking. And I'm expecting and hoping that we will continue to see further joint work in areas of human suffering and great poverty and struggle.
Any other particular ideas that you'll be putting forward where you can take this cooperation forward?
Well, I think one of the most obvious areas is around the issue of peacemaking. And we've seen his extraordinary initiative with the leaders from Palestine and Israel in the last few weeks. And the impact of that in terms of not political statements, but in spirituality and prayer. I was in Nigeria last week, again, not to read lectures to the Nigerian government on how they deal with this or that, but to pray with the president. And I think the churches are called by Christ to be reconciled reconcilers, to be those who reach out in reconciliation.
You have a particular area of expertise here, don't you, from your past work in Nigeria, in your work with Muslim-Christian dialogue. What help, perhaps, do you think, as you say, the churches are witnessing to this reconciliation, but what kind of practical steps would you like to take here?
Well, I think we're already seeing around the world some very significant practical steps. In a completely different part of the world earlier this year, we brought together two groups of leaders I don't want to identify them, so I'm being obscure deliberately, but a different part of the world. We brought together two groups of leaders who've been at each other's throats for a long, long time. And we worked with them over 3 weeks in the United Kingdom. And since then, they've gone back to their home country and they have trained about 6,000 people, local community leaders, in peacemaking. Now, that is around the strength that the church has as being based locally everywhere. And it's also around the overflow of the reconciliation which Christ gives us.
Do you see this as an area where Catholics and Anglicans can be working more closely side by side in this work?
Emphatically, yes.
As you know, there are those who also say that the practical cooperation is, if you like, a second best to the theological dialogue, which has somehow come to a standstill. What is your response, your reaction to that?
Well, I don't accept the premise of the question as the first part. The theological dialogue has not come to a standstill. Archic 3 is working very well. YACM is working very well. There is a very serious dialogue going on. And the idea that these are alternatives is absurd. We are children of God. We are called together to deepen our understanding of how we are to live as God's children in this world, loving one another and loving the world as he did, to be his people in the world. And that has a theological component and it has a component of application. If you leave the theology, you simply become an NGO with a load of old buildings. And if you abandon the pragmatism, you abandon the incarnational aspect of the gospel, which is central to what we believe.
You talked here about denominational differences being overcome if we can learn to recognise and welcome the Spirit in each other. Pope Francis also has a particular empathy with the charismatic, the Spirit-filled wing of the Church. Do you see perhaps some impetus for the Catholic-Anglican dialogue also coming from this direction?
Well, I think one of the things that strikes me most deeply and has done over many, many years is that the most, I'm not talking about the charismatic movement as such, though that is something from which I come myself and which has deeply influenced me, but the most genuine, authentic sign of the work of the Spirit is that Christians come together in love for one another who have been separated. So at Lambeth, we have Chemin Neuf, a Catholic community, which is now set up a fraternity in Lambeth Palace, where we live, and who form the basis of our daily prayer and our worship, and are developing an ecumenical teaching ministry. Now, that is a spontaneous outworking of the Spirit. It is not human contrived. It's something, it is a response of people to something that is within them. And so, yes, where the Spirit is at work, we see the unity of the Spirit and we are called to live out the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
If there was one thing that you hope to take away from Rome at the end of this very intense two-day visit, you're seeing all kinds of works that the churches here are doing, what would it be? What would you like to take back with you?
I think two things. First of all, my prayer and hope for relationships between the churches is for honesty and transparency. The great East African revival, which began in the 1930s, was based on the phrase from the first epistle of St. John, walk in the light. In ecumenical relations, we need to walk in the light. These are not pale imitations of interstate, international relations. They are the people of God struggling to be to each other what Christ prays that they will be in John 17. And the second one, so that's the first thing, we learn to walk in the light more. We take another step forward in that walking in the light. And the second one is equally straightforward, that we see ways in which we are obedient to the call of Christ to be one. Even if we cannot do everything, it doesn't mean we should do nothing at all.
My thanks there to the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who met with Pope Francis in the Vatican on Monday.